This is RSVMB Update, episode 601, recorded Thursday, January 12th, 2017, designed by Jagex in Cambridge. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Onward we move into 2017, a new year of RSBNB Update and RuneScape updates. Joining Mr. Bistro and myself this week is Tanis from RSBNB Informer. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And you guys are wondering, why is Mr. Bistro here? I thought we were doing a quarterly thing. Well, I will allude a bit to how 2017 is going to work for the podcast later on in the What Have We Been Doing section as to what our co-host slate will look like, and a couple of other things that we're doing along the way that should make it a happier listening experience for you, though not as though it's not happy as it is right now. All right. So we had a week off last week for the podcast and RS updates, which I think was good, specifically for me physically, because I wouldn't have been able to do the show last week had we had to talk about an update, because you guys are hearing me right now, and I could barely speak last week. So, this week, on the 9th, we were greeted, of course, with the Memorial to Guthix update and the removal of all the 15-year anniversary events and adornments from in-game. So, Memorial to Guthix, it's here. Do you guys think, first of all, before we get into the content of this, that bringing out a Memorial to Guthix, 4 years, I think. Is it 4 years? Yeah. It was August 2013 Divination came out, then March 2013 that World Wakes came out. Do you guys think 4 years is too late for this memorial? Or
No, I think it's on the edge, I guess.
All right. And why is that?
I mean, I think it should have been done sooner. Of course, my first thought was, oh, great, Guthix is never coming back. Wonderful. But then once you start going through the D&D, well, I mean, who knows?
Right.
I mean, who knows? But it seemed odd in its timing, I thought.
Yeah, and I mean, it's right after Sliske's endgame, so I mean, maybe that's a way of capping that all off and saying, okay, this chapter of RuneScape is done and we're moving over to something else entirely. So this memorial is placed just north of Eagle's Peak by the hunting area, which I don't think anyone goes to unless you're beginning hunter, so it's good to draw some attention to that area of the world map, I think. Because, I mean, when was the last time you guys were there, aside from, you know, entry-level hunting?
Phoenix Flare is there, right? I mean, if you're going for the Phoenix Pet, maybe?
All right.
Something like that.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, the Phoenix Pet, it's a good place to get the Phoenix Feathers, but that is the method I use to get 99 summoning up there.
Right. Though, I mean, I guess Prif is probably the thing that everyone else would use nowadays for summoning, right? But anyways, that's beside the point. So this memorial, it looks fantastic. Let me just start off by saying that, you know, how fantastic this memorial actually looks, because, you know, it really, really takes advantage of NXT and shows how the game has evolved in a graphical sense, even since last year with NXT. I mean, lighting and everything, it's all here. And you can really see the rich colors and the water effects, the glows. You know, even if you're not interested in this, I would say, you know, head on over here and have a look and see how it is, because it just looks really nice, I think. Is that how you guys feel as well?
Yeah, I think it looks really nice, and that's exactly what I thought was we're at the beginning of seeing NXT come into its own. It feels like it's really solidifying, and they've gotten much better with telling where its limitations are and how to use it to its, you know, maximum potential. And I think that, you know, that'll probably increase a little bit more as we go through these expansions through the next year. Yeah. But it looked nice. And I thought the location was a good pick because, you know, the map is starting to get full. And that is a area basically where they could put it.
Yeah, it's practically
and it's kind of tranquil, uh-huh. I guess, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You can see the outer edges of Priftinus from the memorial and, of course, vice versa. So that's a really interesting thing to do if you have the chance to just gaze out and see what Priftinus looks like and see what the memorial looks like from so far away, providing you have the render distance to be able to do that. So moving into actual content itself here. This is very much linked to the divination skill, and in a way I think freshens up what we know as divination. So basically what's going to happen is after you go there and do the tutorial, you will start getting what are called memory strands appearing in your inventory or your currency pouch. And these appear very much like the Siskelion pieces did, except they're only found while training divination. And these memory strands are used with divine energy to activate 12 different memory engrams that form the memories of Guthix. And you put each memory engram on a plinth inside the memorial, and you're able to interact with it. And you also unlock a unique divination perk with this that allows you to change the way you train divination a bit. A couple of them are, for example, that instead of chronicles appearing when you're training divination, you can have Guthixian butterflies appear. Another one allows you to offer chronicles directly from your inventory. One lets you find memory strands when you're thieving, for example. Memory seeds when you're thieving. So basically, this is a way of expanding the divination skill out to be more in depth than it was previously, which I think is good for divination because it got a lot of flack when it came out that it was just too bland, right?
Yeah, definitely.
As bland as it may be, it still served its purpose.
And it's just basic.
I frankly enjoyed it, as grindy as it could be at times.
All right,
but no, I'm sorry, Bistro. Go ahead.
But I do think that it's kind of nice, you know, just like fishing has more options, but you're still doing the basic same thing. I think it's a good direction.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't even know, you know, when the last time we saw an update like this was, because it, I think, freshens up a skill that didn't necessarily need to be freshened up, but it was a novel way of doing it, which is something I think to be proud of. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think it freshened it up with giving you something to do. Now, one thing that I wonder with the rewards, I've noticed a lot of the rewards is just ways of getting the memory strands through different skilling activities.
Right. Yeah.
And that I wonder about because there's only so much you can do with the memory strands. And so I wonder if they should have put so much room for that type of thing. You know, I mean, if you have like, 12?
Well, they're actually memory shards, not strands. And they can be, you know, converted into different divine energy products. So it's not necessarily relating to the memorial itself. Like, for example, let's say you get a certain number of shards when you're thieving. You can potentially turn that into a sign of life with enough of them. So that's what that does.
Okay, so I was confused on that. See,
right.
That was,
because
that
strand
was
and shard are kind of like they have the same ending letter, so you might read that in, you know, it's human nature when you're reading something like that to automatically complete the word that it might mean something else, right? So
yeah.
It's like if you're writing a sentence and you have the word of or if in the sentence, but you forget the I or the O, a human will just read over that and automatically put in the right letter, whether it's if or of. So that's, I think, what happened here, because I did the same thing until I looked into doing this. And then, you know, you see that, oh, this is actually different. But the question I think that comes up next is, are the portents and signs that you get from divination, you know, anything that we're interested in actually using, aside from maybe the sign of life, the sign of item protection?
I mean, well, there's, kind of the portent. I think it's specific circumstances and specific activities that you do. Like, okay, so your porters, that's not really that helpful, but if you're doing, say you do rocktail bubbles every day, now you're going to do some kind of, well, most people are going to do your divination spots, you know, your divine spots every day, your locations.
Right.
Porters are great for that because your inventory fills up a lot of times before your gathering limit does, and those, you know, they're only there for such a short amount of time. You may have to put down, you know, if you double your location gathering limit, you can put down like 3 or 4 bubbles sometimes. But if you have those signs, you're not losing like any time whatsoever. So you you might only have to use like, you know, 3 bubbles, that kind of thing. So they're really good in that respect. And I think one of the rewards too is to lengthen or increase your gathering limit.
Right. And I think this is the core aspect of this update. It's the various things you get for completing the memories. So I already mentioned the one with the Guthix butterflies and teleporting chronicles directly from your inventory. But there are some other ones, including the experience from converting memories inside Daemonheim is quadrupled. Quadrupled. Times 4 XP for converting memories in Dungeoneering.
Well, that's necessary down there. It was so minimal.
All right. Next one, Decree of Mortality. Checking hunting traps has a chance to yield memory shards. So this is what we were talking about. Guardian of Life planting seeds has a chance to yield the shards as well. And then this is the one that Tanis was talking about. The divination of... this wasn't the one. The duration of divination springs is increased. So that would be a good one if you're training divination up. Now, I don't know. Would you guys use this one? Shared knowledge, divine locations will grant you 125% experience, but no items.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends on what you're training, but divine locations are a great daily if you're going for a 120, if you're going, even if you're trying to get your 99. Say, okay, here's an example. You're going for Hunter. Maybe you don't like Hunter. I don't like Hunter. I think it sucks. But so I did divine box traps every day. Now, I don't need the crap that comes from a divine box trap. It's meaningless nowadays.
Yeah, that's very
true. You're talking Grinroll spikes. And,
well, the only thing the spikes are good for is the extreme ranging potions.
Yeah, I mean, but they're so cheap. I mean, nowadays it's so cheap. It's not like when I trained Herblore like way back. So to me, that extra XP, way worth it. I mean, not every kind of location you would do that with, but man, I could see it coming in really handy.
All right.
I think it's good because it really adheres to a play style. It gives you an option to collect that stuff if you want it, or to not if the experience is more important to you, or if you just don't want to have the items. In that regard, a different option for divination training and skill training in general, it's good.
Yeah.
And it keeps those items from coming in the game. So that's, I don't know how much effect that would have on the economy. Probably nothing. Probably negative. Yeah, that word.
I think it might actually have a little bit bigger of an effect than most people would think. If enough people are using those, just imagine like how many less inventories are going immediately
onto the Grand
Exchange.
Point. Because you can get Rocktail and quite a good number of Rocktail from those Rocktail bubbles.
Yeah, you can get like inventory, maybe more sometimes.
Yeah, and that adds up
about
over
100
players. Okay, well, there we go. There we go.
Yeah.
Other potential rewards you can get from turning in the engrams, benefits from completing a Guthixian and cash will be bottled up for later, so you don't necessarily need to do it right away. So that's great. Divine eggs may appear instead of bird's nests while woodcutting, granting divination experience, divine energy, and divine energy products. Because we all know how useless bird's nests are. So,
yeah.
Well, the eggs from it, rather. Fire spirits from fire making now become divine fire spirits, granting divination XP, divine energy, and divine energy products. So once again, expanding divination out into other skills. The option to get memory shards from pickpocketing, wisp herder, converting memories had a small chance to spawn an additional wisp. And of course, the one I mentioned with offering chronicles directly from your inventory. So some interesting rewards and divination benefits that you can get for doing that. I think that, you know, aside from the extra Guthix lore that we get from this, I think that the items we just went over are perhaps the core point why everyone should be excited about this update, because as I said, it refreshes divination. Even though divination didn't necessarily need a refresh, it makes it just a more dynamic skill, I think. So
yeah, I completely agree.
I'm happy with that. So I didn't really talk much about the exact process of charging Engram, but basically you need memory strands and a certain amount of energy. You can gather the energy yourself or buy it on the exchange, so that's simple. But memory strands, you know, those aren't, they're not that easy to get. You got to do lots of divination to get them. If you look at Mod Manti's full overview of this update, on average they expect someone to get around 300 memory strands an hour. But due to the nature of randomness, you can get as low as 100, for example, or as high as 500 in 1 hour. So that is something to be aware of.
Yeah, and I also can I add something for people should be
please
want people to be aware of. So I don't know if we talked about when you go around the world to gather the anagrams that you need to combine with the memory strands to, you know, make that the pliff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like me, if you have any kind of visual impairment at all, get a friend to go with you because this is a big freaking eye test and it's difficult. Some of these strands are really hard to see.
And they're really, really
not
tiny.
Strands, but the anagrams. Some of the anagrams
they're really hard to find. Really tiny.
Yeah. So I just want to put that out there. You know, luckily I had a friend that was like, it's over here, bro. So that was good. But if I had been on my own, I would have been really frustrated.
Yeah. And I mean, they tell you where they are. You get the first one from Orla herself, and that tells you where you need what you need to do. So kind of gives you a bit of a tutorial. And something else that was pointed out by Parnassius is that you need to actually do the tutorial before you can go pick up any of the engrams out in the real world. So keep that in mind. I don't think there's anything else on the engrams itself, though there's definitely, you know, I did get the sense that with this, I mean, perhaps it's just something that has been in my mind that, you know, maybe at some point, they might be looking for a way to bring Guthix back. Did any of you guys get that as well with any of this stuff you read?
Okay, so basically just the first, you know, the anagram you do for the tutorial.
Yeah.
When I first saw this come out and I'm going up there, I'm like, well, it's done. Like, it's over. And then you start going through the memory or what have you, and you begin to go, I don't know, I'm not so sure, because he's talking about the nature of things and everything is a cycle. Everything is as it must be, but it comes back. And I'm going, I think he just said something about you come back like three different times. Like, are you coming back? Like, is this going to be a thing? Because it sounded like he knew this was happening. He knew exactly how, when, where. And to me, it sounded like that was open, like that was, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sense I got as well, but perhaps this is just wishful thinking. It might require us to go deeper on the lore on this and find out what exactly is going on. Colton, yes, I'm talking to you, if you're listening. That would be a good thing to hear about. But, yeah, that's the sense I got as well. And, you know, I've only done 3 of the engrams. I'm not rushing it, so I'm not sure exactly what the next step will be. The other one I did, of course, was talking about Zanaris, and there's a world gate on Zanaris somewhere, apparently, that we have not seen yet. So that's interesting.
I suppose that would make sense.
Yeah. And, you know, Zanaris is the moon, so I guess that counts as a separate world, I guess. I don't know. But... yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see what comes from all this. And, you know, I think this is the whole reason I asked, does this time period right now after Sliske's endgame make sense to release a memorial to Guthix when the death happened and brought us into the Sixth Age all the way back in 2013? Why do it 4 years after the fact, right? So
I think they put it here because the story's over. The story that started, that chapter's done. There's a little bit of closure. Now they can move on, potentially seed the ideas of new stories. I honestly think that this is a great placement for it. Good bookend towards the quest line.
All right. And you know, you could entirely be right that that's all there is to it. So... I guess we can just run with that. Anything else about Memorial of Guthix before we move on? I know there are, of course, always niggles and itches in the comp community that this is another 8 to 10 hour comp requirement. But it is what it is. When
it's part of being comp.
Yeah.
That's what goes with that gate.
Though, I mean... This is, you know, kind of a lore requirement too, so I was a bit surprised that it wasn't Master Quest, but anyways.
You know, you're right. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, because, I mean,
yeah.
It's tied to, you know, one of the biggest quests in game history, right? And it could, for all intents and purposes, be a little mini distraction and diversion that takes place after the world wakes, right? So, I mean, it could go very well be Master Quest as well, so... That was just the thought I had. But, you know, it kind of makes sense that if it's going to be comp, you know, or is it a comp or a trim? I'm not entirely sure. Comp?
Well, it's both. Comp, you do it once. Trim, you gotta prestige it. We forgot about the prestige.
Yes, that's true, actually. You can prestige this, of course, as with, you know, it seems to be a thing that Jagex likes doing. It's a wonder why they haven't added it to skills yet. But that's a topic for another day.
They keep working it in, don't they?
That's right.
They just work it in there.
That's right. So the prestige, you know, you reset and everything gets erased. So it's a bit different this time, except that when you prestige, the engrams do get reset and you do need to find them again. But the rewards will stay unlocked. And in addition to this, there's an extra reward slot that is unlocked each time you prestige up to a maximum of 4. So, you know, initially you can only have one of them unlocked. So after the prestige, you'll be able to have 4 of these little benefits going all at the same time. So the benefit to this is that if you are in prestige, you can only change once every 5 days or so. Or perhaps it's that weekly reset. I'm not entirely sure. If you aren't prestiged, but it's also worth noting that you can change your selections if you do add a new engram. So that's good. But yeah, so there's a reason to prestige. And you also do get more strands per hour if you prestige. The example they give here is the average gathering rates at prestige 0 of 288, prestige 1 is 312, 336, 360, 360, and then 384, all the way up to prestige 5. So that is what we have for this, up to 4. The rewards are the same, so it's just a matter of, I guess, doing it for the experience, I guess, the divination and XP and trim. Yeah. Okay. Okay, it is also a Master Quest Cape requirement. So it fits under all of them. So that's good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Of course, Jagex wouldn't forget something like that. So that's great.
You never know. But
yeah, it's happened before.
It's happened, but I'm glad it didn't happen this time.
And also, just for the record out there, the best way of charging this is to get one of your own little Uncharted islands on the Ark or, claimed island from a scroll and do divination there, because that is the highest divination training experience available in-game currently. So, anything else on this before we move on to, what everyone waits for? That makes it the most wonderful time of the year.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Tanis, you good?
I'm good.
All right. Well, Vic is back. Tell us about this, Mr. Bistro.
Yeah. Vic's back. Everyone waits for him. You can trade in your bonus experience. You can do that until the 16th of January. And you can purchase until the 23rd, which... I don't remember.
You don't remember?
The purchase portion. What do they mean by the purchase portion?
Oh, it's like, changing and buying XP for other skills or buying treasure hunter outfits. Yeah. It's basically converting those points and then using them.
Yeah. So does anyone know how much bonus experience they have right now?
I had over 1 million, but I turned most of it in.
Okay. I'm currently have 2.6 mil XP, and I'll be changing about 2.4 mil of that into Dungeoneering. I'm not really interested in going for any of the outfits.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting here. They added the Golem outfit and the Ethereal outfits to the skilling portion of the game, so you can get those outfits via skilling now. But oddly, these are still the most expensive items in Vic's store that you can buy. The Rune Ethereal outfits and the Golem outfit, for some reason.
And the Shark is coming next.
Yeah, and those are right in the middle. So, it doesn't make sense to buy those outfits, so I don't know why they're so expensive. Like, people aren't going to buy them anyway, so just lower the point price down to, the bottom echelon.
Yeah. I don't know. It's possible that that was overlooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a holdover. Because I think it's exactly the same as it was every other time.
Yeah. Other changes are that you can now dump invention bonus XP into it. Master camouflage pieces can now be purchased from the special outfits tab. Grotesque armor and soul gems have been added to the other tab. The price of all special outfits has been reduced by 50, a measly 50. Skill dumping training crates can now be purchased. Okay, I don't use those. Does anyone know who uses those?
No.
Okay.
Skill dummies can be really good on double XP weekends or if you're in a skilling competition.
Okay.
They can come in real handy.
All right.
Really?
Yeah.
The second batch of Slayer masks have been added to the store.
Oh, this is good. I assume that is going to mean... I'm not sure what the second batch was, but...
The second batch was Automatrons. It was the good ones. The Ganos, the Automatrons, the Aerits. I think Black Demons was in there, although that's not a good task. Okay. I'm pretty sure that was in the second batch.
What about Ice Strike Worms?
I think those were out before the second batch, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
The second batch is like every 3 days.
You can
tell so that like if you go to get your task and it's you can't get it, that's second batch stuff.
And of course, the dummies next to Vic have been updated with the latest outfits because everyone loves Fashionscape, don't they? So, yeah, there until the 16th, purchase on the 23rd. I'm not sure what I'm going to purchase this time. I have over 2,000 points from last time I dumped in. I didn't spend anything last time, so.
I kept track of that for you?
Yeah, it did.
Like you didn't lose them?
No,
oh,
I didn't,
wow.
No, I didn't lose them.
Nice.
So that's good to know. But
yeah.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to move on to the patch notes for this week. Nothing too groundbreaking looking at it. You know, just a couple little things here and there that jumped out. It's now possible to combine used silver jewelry, the update from December. So that's good. Doesn't make sense to have multiple of them floating around. You might as well give us this option to do that on other things like the dueling rings, perhaps. That might be a good, nice thing to do in the future.
Sure would. Yeah.
Mining a shooting star will now give augmented pickaxe XP rates. Two adjacent rooms in Sliske's labyrinth have been swapped to prevent players from getting from players crossing into a room they haven't rotated and becoming stuck. Yeah, that's a good thing to do, especially on a great Grandmaster quest. So, yeah, that's good. That's fixed. Then a little hot fix from the tail end of December here. Withdrawing above max cash to an existing stack of coins in the wilderness, no longer drops it to the floor.
What? Who did this to even find out it was a bug?
I don't know, but that's probably why it's there. That person probably called up and they were pretty mad.
Oh, could you imagine?
Well, yeah, because, you know, the coin pouch doesn't work in games. So the way I envision this happening is that the coin pouch is disabled. So if you're above that, it would just, you know, say, oh, we can't have this in your inventory. So let's just drop it to the ground, as probably would be the default action if for an item that can't be inventoried, right? So,
yeah. Max cash stacks are overrated.
I totally agree with you on that. Totally agree with you. So, all right.
Got to move to the secondary currency.
Yeah, that's right. Party hats, right? Each mint worth cakes, max cash stack.
Mint cakes? No, I thought it was summoning shards.
Oh, right. Oh, definitely yes. Those. Definitely did used to be those. Okay. Anything else in the patch notes, you guys?
Nah. Not this time.
Alrighty. Well, then, 2017 year ahead, the behind the scenes for the 2017 news posting here. You know, this year is themed all around surprise, which I think a lot of players wanted. So I'm glad that they did this. So a number of things happening here. So first off, in January, we got the Memorial to Guthix. And then later on this month, Nex, Angel of Death. Which
Yeah,
I knew you'd be happy about this. And the question... Oh, excuse me. I just had to take care of my throat. And the question is, why is this another PVM update, right? Like, we just had Talos and God Wars 2 last year. Does it make sense to be having another version of Nex coming out with new mechanics and, you know, they called it old-school
Talos was such a flop and a disappointment. I think this new Nex is really going to be popular because it actually allows people to kind of just show up and fight it, which hasn't been a thing for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, even Raids was a little bit not like that in a way.
And I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, all the new bosses are like... it's just layering more mechanics. Except for, you know, God Wars 2 was kind of a throwback. It was, but your higher level PVM, it's constantly adding more mechanics until you just feel like you're doing the two-step, and it can be frustrating. And then on top of that, the Talos, like, I thought the whole loot mechanic in the streak mechanics was a novel idea. I don't think it really played out the way that they had hoped.
No, and they took that away.
You know.
Yeah. But the reason why this one will probably be the more successful, just as is, without even knowing anything about it, than Talos, is that you can just go there. You can't just go there for raids because there's a daily limit. You can't just go there for Talos because you're going to get shit loot unless you do it multiple times.
There's no increasing in rage on this new Nex update.
So
it's very much an old school boss, and perhaps the way people expect bossing to be done on RuneScape, which maybe signals a design issue with Telos and raids and everyone else.
I don't think raids is done wrong. It's good for what it does.
Okay.
But this is that boss that you can go to whenever you want. Raids isn't. So.
No. I mean, you have to have a team, and it has to be a proficient team. On top of that, though, I mean, you know, it's not really. It's a group boss. It's hard to call it. For me, it's hard to call it like a raid. It doesn't seem to really fit that, but that's kind of beside the point. I do look for enhanced mechanics with this boss. I just think that they're not doing enraged, and they're not doing streaking, and they're not doing these different loot mechanics. But I would say be prepared for a rots type encounter. Like,
that's exactly
it's gonna
the way
be
they
rough.
Have. That's exactly the way they say it. So, and they don't give any sample as to how many players that you want, except that you can do it with any number of players.
They shouldn't give anything away about this.
Yeah.
Just the name.
And it should come, and they shouldn't preview it on stream. They shouldn't say what the rewards are. If this is going to be the truly marked as the year of surprise, just tell us exactly what we saw right here. And then
that's the week
before it's coming out, what you do is you just have some gameplay, you know, make a commercial, 30 seconds, a minute of gameplay, put some music to it, show the new weapons in use, show the boss in use. Don't talk about its levels, its mechanics, or anything like that. Just put out a minute, 30-second commercial Friday before it comes out, and voila, there's your behind the scenes for this boss.
And air that commercial on more than just YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus social media, because you can do that on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
And if it looks good enough, you're going to get people looking at the RuneScape hashtag on Twitter and Facebook to see this and come into the game and figure out what this is and, you know, get interested, because it has been posted again that this year is the 16th anniversary of RuneScape. So people are looking at RS.
Well, I mean, IGN even did a piece on that. So, you know, when they're doing that, it's kind of a big deal. Now, here's my question, though. So it's the year of surprises. The player base claims that they want to be surprised. But have you ever known a player base to get more cranky about new stuff?
Exactly. Like,
they hate change.
It doesn't.
But we want surprises. Okay.
And I don't know how it's going to work, and that's maybe the issue with this, is that people want surprise, but at the same time, they want to be spoon-fed the information when it's time. And you can't
have it both ways.
Like, so and that's why I'm like, okay, so it's going to be a year of surprises. So if we're going to be doing that, and January is quote-unquote a surprise, and we're not hearing too much about it, I very much hope that the updates are going to be released in that manner, because this behind-the-scenes news posting is exactly the same kind of behind-the-scenes news postings that we used to have. Mm-hmm. And Memorial to Guthics came out the same way any old update would have. So that's the way it should be.
Yeah. I want to plug my own article that's coming out pretty quick here. I talked about the year of surprises a little bit and what JX needs to do differently about how they market their new stuff for the game. And I think it will be a really good read and will really relate to this topic in particular.
And of course that can be found at informer.rsbnb.com. So fast forwarding past January, they talk a bit about February, and they don't really reveal much else beyond February. But February is going to include a new quest, new augmentable tools for bringing two more skills into invention, game jam and double XP weekend, and that's all we got for February. But they're calling it a month of passion. These are going to be done by developers who have a passion for the update that they're doing. So For example, the quest is being shepherded by Maud Helen and Maud Nexus, who, of course, had the passion for this quest. We don't have any more details about it right now, but they say they will give more in the February's month ahead news posting. And same thing with the new augmentable tools. They're coming from Maud Ryan. It's a Maud Ryan passion project. So, and then they say you can see a trend forming, a development team that wants to regularly treat you with content outside of the expansions and big projects that we have for planned in 2017. So, before we get too far into February, what do you guys think the new skills for invention are going to be?
Maybe smithing and cooking.
Okay. Would it make sense to do smithing, though, with the smithing rework?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Well, it depends on when... wait, this stuff is coming out in February, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely not smithing anymore.
I don't know. Crafting, possibly.
Ooh, crafting would be a good one.
Crafting would be good. Crafting does need some stimulant.
No, I don't know.
Crafting does divination. Need
construction, I could see. With either the hammer or the saw.
I need to get this out here right now, and I'm going to hammer this home in our next segment as well. But please, before doing anything else with construction, rework the goddamn POH.
Yes.
Like.
Yes. Completely agree.
I don't see why
don't hold your
we're
breath.
Talking
you might
about
turn blue, but yes.
adding on to construction inside a POH system that was designed in 2005. So.
Yep.
And came out in 2006. Please. I mean.
But what other skills do you use tools for? Like, that's the thing. Like, there's only so many of them.
Here's augment. Well, you could have augmentable farming
kind
tools.
Of had a vacuum-like thing. You could do the same for divination.
Augmentable farming tools?
Yeah. Yeah, you could. Yeah. Yeah, farming tools, I guess you could.
But I definitely think crafting is up there. And, you know, thinking about it, Hunter's probably a good idea too, because Hunter really hasn't had much done with it. And looking at Hunter as we did last year, it's kind of a standalone skill, and there's no real point to it. So,
but it's so fast.
Anything to make it better.
But it's not diverse and unique, so that's no good.
I don't think it hurt. I I mean, I don't hate Hunter like you do, Tannis, but
did you have to do it at the Jadinko spot?
Yeah, but I enjoyed the Jadinko.
Really?
Because,
I mean, yeah, different strokes, right?
I guess.
All right. Well, rest of the year, they say. The first expansion is in June, which we knew was Menaphos. Coming months will be March for the Clue Scroll rework. Reworking the old ones will bring in new, including a new Clue Scroll tier and rewards. Before Menaphos, we'll also see the launch of the achievement system. Also, Shattered Worlds, which I'm betting will be April or May, given how this is going. That's the update that was supposed to come last summer, but was moved to a redesign. So it's interesting they're still working on this. The Spring Fair, much like the beach, the Evil Dave quest. And then, quote, looking critically at stuff in game that drags you away from what you want to play, reworking dailies, which are so rewarding that in the case of sinkholes and warbands, you won't feel forced to play them.
Is that code for nerf? We're nerfing the
crap exactly,
that you like.
That's exactly what I thought. Sinkholes and warbands. That's exactly what I thought. So
I think they should nerf that and up everything else just slightly so it's all level.
I don't know.
That sounds like a lot of work, but I think it would go a long way.
Yeah.
I've never met a nerf I like. Can't. I just can't get on board. Plus, I mean, do we really want to run every dungeoneering floor? Because, I mean, if sinkholes aren't what they are now, I can't be bothered. Like, I really can't.
God, what is with you guys in hating dungeoneering?
Well, I think it all comes back to the way dungeoneering was designed. It doesn't really make sense. I mean,
I don't like to have to depend on getting a group together. That's one thing.
You don't need to get a group together.
Well, but I do. That's why it bugs me. They still have stuff in there that they don't have examine text on where you know what color it is. Like there's still stuff like that in that skill. And yeah, sinkholes was like my alternative. Get them in while I can.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely got to bring those in. Second half of the year, we'll focus on the bank rework and the two expansions in addition to Manifos, the September and December expansion. We'll talk a bit more about the bank rework in just a couple moments. And then this long-awaited project, media upgrades while retaining the base and familiarity that you want. Integrating both Diango and the Wise Old Man. The mining and smithing rework is also receiving its final set of dev diaries in January, which will precede the full design document before launch, and the beach will be returning. So I'm guessing mining and smithing rework, second half of the year, along with the bank rework. That's a pretty big second half of the year. Second half of the year feels pretty top-heavy, if you have to ask me.
And I wonder if that will end up in an expansion. Like, does that...
I think that would be seen as a cop-out, and I don't think they can do that.
Okay, well then... Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Do you think, like, all this stuff that's just been listed, was that already in the pipeline?
I think it needed the...
expansions, or... Because I'm confused with all of these nice updates. I mean, this stuff looks nice. This looks like a good year to look forward to. But I'm failing to see how expansions fall into this. It's not what I had pictured.
Well, remember, the expansions are supposed to be big question marks, huge updates that come out, and we're not meant to discover everything on the day of release. They said sometimes when it comes to an expansion, it'll take you weeks or even months to discover everything about it.
Right, but I thought they were supposed to be like almost like a quarterly type thing where they're taking all that time and they're working and they're like expansion is this dump of content that we get to play with and go through and all this. And I'm going, how are they having time to do that if all this other stuff is coming out? Like, is it going to end up half-baked? Because it ain't like they doubled their staff.
What I think I would that think, all of this was planned out, but they needed the treasure to actually go forward and do this. So when Premier membership ticked over and everyone paid up, they could greenlight a whole bunch of projects.
I don't think it's even that. I think it's just a simple matter of reorganizing the structure inside of the development teams, because you got teams like the Watch and whatnot who develop various things. Well, what you do is you just amalgamate some of these teams for the larger updates, and then you maybe have only two of the teams working on smaller things. Because if you if you really think about it, the Guthix Memorial update at its core doesn't have any really new I mean, it's new content, but it's nothing that is reinventing the wheel, so much so that it can't be rapidly prototyped and rapidly developed based on things that are already existing in game. So that, is a way of kind of easing the load on that. But you got to keep in mind that Guthix Memorial at this time was probably in update or in development since probably September or October. Same thing goes for the next update that we're getting in February. So where we are right now, we're looking at the updates for February and March being in probably the QA phase, whereas April and May right now are just rounding out development and getting ready to be finished. So with that being said, I think it's entirely possible that the rest of the year can be focused on working on expansions. So.
Okay, so you do then think like a lot of this is already kind of in the pipeline.
Yeah, because I mean, at RuneFest they did say that they had the ability to do this, and that you know, it wasn't going to affect pacing or anything like that. But at the same time, there were surprises that they weren't going to talk about. And, you know, the Guthix Memorial and Nex is definitely one of them. So I don't think there's too much to worry about that right now.
I hope the Guthix Memorial is the Church of View kind of like rebranded so they can just put that to sleep.
You know, that was my thought when I saw that when it said like your own shrine, I'm like, Church of You? Your own shrine?
Yeah, but, I want that to be just no longer talked about by Mod Mark. Never again.
Yeah.
You don't want to be your own deity. Come on.
I know lots of people who did, like namely Trekkie and whatnot. So, but I don't know. I think we'll end up being all right. Overall, I'm actually, after watching this video, it was a good, it was a nice thing to hear because, you know, the way it works for me is I get a tremendous amount of energy from doing this show, preparing the show and whatnot. And that's why it's obviously still going after all this time. And the same thing happened with this Year Ahead video. It was a huge source of energy and, you know, it was great fun to watch and hear. So I think 2017 is going to be great. I'm really excited about the surprise stuff. Namely that, you know, maybe we'll get some kind of construction update associated with this. But who knows? Who knows? So,
yeah, I think it's going to be, it looks to be a great year. And, you know, like I said, if all this is in the works, then that's cool. That's exactly what I would have expected because I'm looking forward to this new format. And I'm, you know, if I only get big expansions, I'm cool with that. Let's try that. You know, I'm excited for it. You know, I'm ready.
And, you know, that's going to be something else that we're going to really pay attention to after the first expansion comes out is what is the pacing of, you know, all the other updates during this time period? Is it, you know, a good level of pacing for the community after Metaphos comes out in the intervening, you know, 3 months, or is it not enough? So I think it's going to come down to patch notes and quality of life fixes, and if you look at things, bottle updates. So,
yeah.
All right. I just want to draw everyone's attention to one more thing while looking at the Year Ahead video. If you look at 4 minutes 42 seconds in there, there's this scene of the Jagex developers working, and I mean, you ask why just have a general scene of, you know, the developers working, but you see that on the one guy's computer here, he has his Spotify up and he's playing through the Spice Girls playlist.
I heard that was on a Reddit post had made.
Don't make me asphyxiate right now. Don't asphyxiate me right now.
They had Spice Girls and I forget what all of them were, but yeah.
All right, you guys ready to move on to the bank rework then, the bank rework dev video? So we got a video about the bank rework, and it really shows where Jagex is going with this. And, you know, initially I wasn't too excited about the bank rework, but I think after looking at this, you know, it looks pretty good. What do you guys think? You guys excited about the bank rework?
I am. I'm very excited for the bank rework, actually.
Why is that?
Well, I use my bank so much. Everyone does. If it can be if it can be like super easy to use, that'd be great. I mean, I can't even count the amount of times this week alone I opened my bank and started typing something, thinking that it would just bring my item up. You know, kind of when you're going through Linux and you just start typing and you tab over and, you know, your directory shows up. It doesn't do that for items, and it should. And that's something that they're addressing too. But it's just so fundamental to the game, and I think it's really important. It's a lot bigger than a lot of people kind of want to think about it
and being. You know, the reason it's so big from a technical standpoint and why we're not seeing it in the first half of the year is because the bank is low engine code and it has been around since practically RS2 as the same style of thing. So that's why this is a huge update. And they said that when the bank happened, or when they were looking at doing this update, they saw that, whoa, the bank is actually really inefficient. So let's try and fix that as well. But Tanis, what do you think? You happy about a bank rework coming?
I'm really excited about a bank rework. I think Bistro really nailed it there. What you do spend so much time in your bank, like you spend so much time in your bank, and no matter how organized you are, things get messed up, presets and everything else, and it gets messy, and you end up having to search for things and typing in, and I think it can be streamlined and it can be made a lot better. So I'm really looking forward to it.
How much faster would it be, though, if you open up your bank and you just start typing, like, key, and all your keys come up? Like,
yeah.
You don't even have to press a search or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so great.
And that's actually going to be one of the features with search, is that you're going to be able to better interact with the the items and the metadata associated with them.
Yeah. Now, all that being said, this is the one that I say – whenever you think you're done, Jagex, you're not done. Let it set for a month. Let it set for 2 months. Hell, let it set for 3. Just keep messing with it and making sure it's right.
Yeah, and that's the number one thing.
If this doesn't go right, it's bad.
It's going to be out when it's ready. They're going to do beta testing to ensure that it works and all that. You know, they're not 100% sure if all the features they have outlined here will make their way into the game. They essentially want to make the bank modern and brought up to, quote, modern MMO standards. I'm not sure if it's a good idea to be copying the, quote, modern MMO because RuneScape is so different, but they're free to do what they want. And the bank is so common that it needs to be familiar and not have a learning curve to use. So, of course, that makes sense. So, continuing on from that, one of the questions they got, unsurprisingly, during this process was, will there be more bank space? And the answer is no. That's not a part of the rework. They've practically almost given out all the amount of bank space that they can because of technical limitations and the amount of storage that they can have for everyone's potential items. It's just so massive. They're also going to be mitigating this in a number of factors, such as adding Diango to the bank so that you don't need to go to Diango if you want to, you know, search for all your treasure hunter outfits, that kind of thing. Same thing with the Wise Old Man integration into the bank, so he'll be able to remove quest items you don't need, and it'll be smarter than it currently is, so that helps out quite a bit.
Yeah. It needs to be smarter.
Yeah, because, right now it's basically what feels like, you know, early on quests from a few years ago. And it's there's no real emphasis on the modern quests and removing any of those items should you choose to bank them. So, also, you know, this was a community suggested feature. And this is something I wanted to draw attention to with this update, and where some of the potential problems could arise with the bank rework, and that is that adding more items, and specifically global search, for your POH toy box is going to be brought into the banking update. Now, there's two problems I have with this. The first one is what I mentioned earlier, is that, okay, if you're going to be touching something to do with the POH, don't bother. Mm-hmm. Rework the player-owned house and construction skill first before messing around with this. That's point number one. Point number two is that Jagex seems to be so eager to please with, you know, their dev diaries and soliciting feedback from various people on certain websites. I'm not going to call it what I called it during the clip show. I'm not going to call it that. They need to really keep in mind that they need to be the creative force behind these updates and not let the community, in essence, put a vision on these updates that Jagex themselves might not necessarily have. So the thing with this is that, okay, you want to add POH Toy Box Search. But if you do that, you are effectively making the POH Toy Box in your POH useless. Now, granted, a certain number of people might want this, or might get a certain number of upvotes or kudos or whatever the heck they call it these days. But if that many people want this update, okay, that's fine. But Jagex needs to think and be wary enough that, are we going to be really harming the construction skill with this? And do we really want to make something else like that somewhere that people don't have to go and doesn't have a novel purpose? So
I want to counter that really quick. I think that them reworking the toy chest for the bank is, I'm willing to bet, pulling something out of the old crappy code that is the POH and putting it into this new stuff, so when they actually do get to redo the POH, it's one less thing that they'll have to completely redo. They can just re-implement back into it. So it might be dead for a little bit, but I couldn't imagine it being dead for when they actually do rework the POH.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it seems short-sighted, and it seems as though that it's one of those cases where the players are dictating what might happen when it doesn't necessarily make sense that would be a good thing. So,
I mean, I think you guys both make really good points, but just from my perspective, just being able to search my toy box, so what? I still have to go to my house to go get it.
Yeah. That's another big thing. You know. If the POH is so outdated, why would you force players to do something they don't want to do and go to their POH?
And this comes back to what I said.
It's dead content. It can get reworked and it can be new. But if it's dead, then it's dead. And it will be dead until it's reworked. Don't force people to deal with old crappy gameplay.
But why do we have to bend over backwards to a community request like that? I don't think it makes much sense to have this.
I couldn't name one thing in my toy box. Couldn't name one thing.
Yeah, exactly. How many things are there in your toy box that you need to get out on a daily basis that you can go to your bank and access it? How often does that happen?
It doesn't happen because people don't want to go to the POH.
Exactly. So what's the point in entertaining this request? It makes zero sense. It's an incredibly stupid idea to be listening to the players on this. So
I think it's a great idea to be listening to the players on this one in particular. They are doing a lot of their own stuff. And they're taking a few suggestions, but at the end of the day, this is still Jagex's rework.
It certainly seems like more than a few. Other things happening with this is that the bank will be resizable, just like other NXT windows. Placeholders will be arriving, which people have requested for years. You're also going to be able to split placeholders, so you can have, you know, half in one temp, half in another temp, for example. If you split them, that'll be two bank spaces, yes. There's going to be sorting options for quality, type, content release date, metadata type stuff. So that's going to be there for sorting. Expanding the amount of bank tabs. It's not going to be unlimited, but there'll be certainly a tab for each skill, combat type, your loot tabs, so on and so forth. Another player suggested idea, the idea of having slim tabs. That's a graphical setting. And I think as long as, you know, these things are cosmetic and are kind of, you know, in a good area where they can be toggled, I think that's perfectly fine. But I don't know beyond this. I broke myself. How much should be listened to?
Since you did, Beast, we got him all worked up.
You certainly
I don't think
did.
I'm done yet. I see a couple more on there that I'm going to be fighting about. I know it.
Anyways, the ability to quick load any presets that you have set up. Presets in the main window will be a part of the bank window, as like the current equipment window is. A new option to disable the collapsing of bank items when removing it, kind of like how it used to be on early days RS2 and old school. Filtering items and having null blank space items, so you can just have an item that is a placeholder or a blank item, I guess. I don't know. I don't know the logic in that, but I mean, it comes from old school after
when,
all.
When they say placeholder, it's because when you remove an item, your other items will shift.
Right.
So the placeholder will keep that.
Oh, no.
That's also a player-suggested thing, so Shane, you obviously wouldn't like that.
You're right, I didn't. Like, I mean, I can see going back to how it was, but having null items that you can just insert? I mean, come on!
Like, why not?
It makes it more complicated than it needs to be. There's a reason.
Why does it make it more complicated?
There's a reason why Apple's mouse for their computer has one button on it, one physical button. And there's a reason why it's worked so good since 1984. It's called simplicity in form factor. I mean, I just don't want it to become too obtuse.
I'm pretty sure that people don't have to put a placeholder in there.
You don't have to, but it's there. And I don't know. Well, I am always...
If you don't have to, then...
Yeah, but I mean, I'm always... I love the Apple design philosophy where Apple designs something and they tell you how to use the product. I wish more people would do that, and I wish Jagex would do that as well.
Shane, this is a game.
Yes.
This isn't a piece of like hardware,
but it's something that you're using day in and day out, and it should be designed with love. Designed with love by Jagex and Cambridge. That should be their new slogan. All right. So, in addition to you know, the ability to have filler items and all that, subtabs. Yeah, you know, I think there's some discussion about that that's warranted. People wanted subtabs, but they're in essence going to allow you to have a horizontal line that splits your tabs into multiple. You guys okay with that?
I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Colored tabs as well, and the ability to have a background color change to kind of have the old school bank coloring. So overall, what do you guys think?
Overall, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with this. But if they're allowing you to do different colors for your bank, they should allow you to do different colors for your entire interface.
Yep. I agree with that.
Let me add to that that this would be an opportunity for them to...
step back.
And, well, you could make the game much more accessible by having... In addition to the different color schemes, but you could also have... color schemes that like Windows 10 uses for their accessibility, where you have your black background with your white on it, or you know what have you, because that's really super helpful for people with vision problems.
Namely, yeah. You.
So
in
this
case,
could be a chance for them.
Yeah, you know, this is something that you and I always constantly discuss, and Jagex I think does an okay job of it, but sometimes they really miss the ball. And with something you use so often, you'd think some accessibility features in here would be really great. So,
I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned in all of this so far is that your companion app is connected to your bank. So that would have to be reworked as well.
That's true.
That's right. That's true. Very true. Yeah, like there's no even mention of that anywhere. So,
nope.
Okay.
They better not let that die, because the companion app's pretty nice, especially when I used to have to take care of clan stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anything else on the bank rework before we go then? I know there was some discussion in the video and with you guys about, you know, if you have a loot tab and you want to put all your stuff that you get from a certain boss encounter inside a bank tab that might not necessarily be what you had before, you'll be able to do that. So I know you guys will be happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Very much, yeah.
Moving of the bank settings to the NXT settings window, so that's great. And of course, this is only episode one, so this is all going to be distilled down further when it's time to have a look and see what's going on here. So.
As long as we're talking about, I don't want to keep expanding on interface like reworks, but their settings interface,
they got to figure something better with that or make it easier to find.
Well, that's another byproduct of that's another byproduct of your players, Togglescape, right? So,
oh,
don't keep going again.
It just needs to be tweaked. If it was put into the settings gear, and it was just its own icon in the settings gear, that would be enough. But no, it's not. You have to open a window and then find it in that window. So,
yeah.
That's all.
Agreed.
All right. Well, it's a bank rework episode one, and that certainly was more stimulating than I thought it would be. So, anyways, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And let us know whose side you're on, either mine or Mr. Bistro's, about that. That certainly was fiery and passionate, wasn't it? So much so I had to go get more water. But... you can let us know on Twitter at RSBNB. There's one more RS item before we move on here. They have been circulating a survey about 120 Slayer on Twitter and on that other certain website that shall not be named. How excited are you for 120 Slayer is the first question. I put my stars right in the middle somewhere. Current total level is 2,500 plus. Slayer level 91 to 99, so it's just gathering some demographic information. Then, what type of RuneScape activities do you enjoy? So you can choose whatever you want on here, and so on and so forth. Then you actually get into talking about Slayer. And there's some interesting questions here. So how much do you agree with the following statements? I would like Slayer monsters to have unique mechanics. Strongly disagree to strongly agree. What do you guys think?
Strongly agree.
Okay.
And I disagree. Like, it depends on what you call a mechanic.
I would think the error is a tactic.
If we're talking about, like, okay, the early Slayer levels where you might need a certain kind of piece of equipment, armor, what have you, that I'm in favor of. If you're going to give me a freaking boss encounter, no. I don't want that.
What would you consider a boss encounter?
You know what, the newer Slayer mobs that they released, I don't like those. Those are mini bosses.
Like okay. Rune Dragons?
Would you consider Rune Dragons a mini boss?
No.
Because that's kind of where I'm at for like new mechanics.
That would be that. I'm cool with that. You know, the different phases, having to use Dragon Bane. Okay, that's cool. Even having it locked behind that much content, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Just don't give me mammoths again, and don't give me skipper demons again. I don't want that.
Skipper demons.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah. Slayer monsters to have unique drops. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Because that brought us the Abyssal Whip. All right. New Slayer monster every 5 levels or every 3 levels.
I'd say every 3.
Yeah, four.
If you can imagine on the way to 120.
Yeah.
You might want
more variety than that, so 3 definitely. How active do you think fighting Slayer monsters should be? I said very active because I don't think we want to cultivate the culture of Netflix and kill any more than we already do.
Yeah, I don't – look, I'm not down with AFK combat. That's not what I want. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you know, I don't – I also – what does that mean to them? Does that mean they're going to make me have to do all this extra mechanics like a mini boss? I don't want that either. Like, I want to pay attention and fight. Give me like Eretz, you know what I mean? Like, because if you walk away from Eretz, you're going to die. Like, that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good level of activity here to be focusing on, to be frank.
I would like those upper level new Slayer creatures to be at the difficulty of Rune Dragons, maybe slightly higher, but just enough to be like actually like entertaining and maybe need to make me take more than one trip.
All right. I think that makes sense. And you know, you definitely get up there and you're worked into that, so it won't be, you know, a huge shock, so that's okay. What new content would you like to see with 120 Slayer? New Slayer dungeon? No, we got enough of those, don't we? We're getting one with Metaphos. Slayer bosses?
Although no. It's going to work a lot different, so yeah. I'm curious.
All right, so let's put the dungeon down then, the new Slayer Master. Elite Slayer monsters?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Really. When they say Elite Slayer monsters, do they mean those, like, specialized tasks?
I think so.
I didn't really care for those as much.
Player-owned Slayer dungeon. And once again,
that's what I'm talking
focus
about.
On yes. The POH before you begin adding new rooms to it.
Hey, this could be like a trial run. Maybe they're just making sure the system works.
No, we had this discussion already in the bank update. We're not having it here again.
They're pulling out all that stuff from the POH, testing it, and then putting it in.
Look, I'm excited for this one. This is what I want.
Okay.
I want to make my own stuff.
Social Slayer expansion. Cricket, so obviously not. Okay. Slayer reward shop expansion? I think so. And then what do we not want to see? We don't want a Slayer boss, of course, and we do not want the freaking Slayer player-owned Slayer dungeon. Because, you know, every time I hear player-owned, it comes back. Oh, we had player-owned houses, but look what they've turned into. If you want to do player-owned things, put it in the player-owned house and rework that house. Simple.
No, they should totally do that, because that would expand on social slaying.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. We have a dungeon in our house.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, well, there's potential there. I want a player-owned Slayer dungeon, but you could put it in my house. I'm cool with
that. Yeah, Tannis, they could fix a whole third of the POH.
Right?
Yeah, below the ground level.
All right. If Slayer bosses were added, what level band do you think they should be in? I think 100 to 110.
I gotta look up the level for Rune Dragons.
They're in the 90s somewhere, aren't they?
No.
Oh. Wow, okay.
Rune Dragon is level 127, so around there.
No. What level band inside Slayer should they be?
Oh.
Well, maybe 81 to 99 then. Okay.
Let's give 99 something other than a cape.
All right.
Unlock your boss.
And now here's the question for you, Tannis. If player-owned Slayer dungeons were released, I should be able to collect monsters to fill it. I should be able to customize it. I should be able to invite others to my dungeon. I should be able to create my own Slayer tasks for others. It shouldn't be an important part of training to 120 Slayer, or it should not be an important part of training to 120 Slayer.
Okay, well, I got lots of answers, because that's a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
I want to collect monsters and put it in. Okay. I want people to be able to come and play in my Slayer dungeon. I want to assign myself tasks. I don't care about assigning other people tasks. And,
Should it be important to training 120 Slayer?
No, it should be after 120. That should be your 120 reward. You get to do this. It should not be part. You shouldn't be able to train to that point. I wouldn't agree with that.
All right. What are you most excited about with 120 Slayer? What are you guys? I'm not a Slayer person, so this doesn't really jump out to me, but
I'm excited.
Slayer-owned dungeons.
Yes. And I can't wait to bask in the pain of the comp players. I want to lick their tears.
You are one of those,
really,
right?
Mad.
You are one of those comp players, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I got a lot of friends that I just rib all the time.
All right. And then what most worries you about 120 Slayer? Time to reach a new level cap? Losing or difficulty unlocking the completionist cape? I bet that's going to be way up there.
You know it.
I'm fine with it. I just wish that they would incrementally raise everything. It didn't have to go straight to 120.
My only concern with it I mean, and it's not really that big of a concern. Like, don't get me wrong. It's just if I have to pick something. Slayer is a very slow skill.
Yep.
We just went through, okay, so we have clan competitions, you know, every week. We just went through a Slayer competition. And, you know, there was a few of us that went, we went hard. And we put up some decent numbers. The very next comp that I competed in was fishing. I got damn near twice the amount of fishing that I did Slayer. And I think a lot of times when you think of slow skills, you're thinking fishing's pretty slow. But you don't really think of it being slower than Slayer. And it is. So that's a concern. I mean, I will enjoy it because I like Slayer. But start training now. if you want to be calm, start training now.
I said new monsters being too rewarding because I think that that is definitely something that is possible, that things are too rewarding. And I also said that not enough new content on release. So that's the survey. You can find it on various JMods Twitter accounts or our show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Alrighty. You guys ready for questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie then. Let us get going. We have two audio questions to begin with, and the first one is from Desmo360. I'll play that right now.
Hey guys, I've been listening for a few months now, and I've been loving the podcast so far. Always gets me hyped to play more of the game. Anyway, I've got two questions for you today. First, would you like to cast any guesses for what the two unrevealed RuneScape expansions might be? Also, have any of you had any good, bad, or comical experiences while playing Dungeons and Dragons?
Second two RuneScape expansions. You know, I think one of them is going to be a skill. I think it's going to be a standard skill, not an elite skill. I have no idea what it's going to be. But they did say that they wanted 2017 to focus on surprises, and I think what better way of doing that than adding a skill to the game that has a name and maybe, you know, a few paragraphs of text written about it and then saying, here, go discover this new skill named something. And then it's basically going to be a modern-day version of relearning how to play the game in a different way with this new skill. I think that's going to be expansion one. Or expansion number two. I think expansion number three will probably focus on some new unreleased area, because if you think about it,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've had two large unreleased or two large updates every year for the past number of years, and Metaphos is going to be one, and we're kind of missing one here, so I think it would make sense to have another area come out that's not necessarily as big as Metaphos, but an area that came out that would influence training in perhaps you know, more specialized manner. So those are my rough guesses. I don't, you know, have any authority on this, that this will be what ends up happening. But I think the first one is definitely likely. The second one, probably not so much. And the reason I say the first one is so likely is because it comes down to the factor of surprise, and that has been talked about numerous times leading up to 2017. And we really haven't had a new skill come out, not just a standard skill, since Divination came out. So that's where I go with that. How about you guys?
I think that you're right on the money. I don't know if they would go as far as release a whole new skill this year, though.
You don't think so?
I think that they would add a new area, whether that be the Western Land region that they talked about being a sense of exploration and almost danger. If you were to do the wilderness-esque kind of risk and the adventure of the Eastern Lands and throw them together in a non-instance realm, what would you get over there? I think that would be really cool. Or they could do something completely south of the entire map and get back into snowy territory. I think that would be really cool to do something like that. But so land, one of them, I think. The other, I would say construction rework.
You know, that could be an entire expansion based on how expansive construction is, and then bringing construction into the rest of the game world. You know, that's entirely true. It could be that.
Yeah, or it could be a Dungeoneering expansion with a whole nother set.
Please no. Please no.
Not in Demonheim, but somewhere else entirely.
Or capped maybe with a quest, you know, Floor 61.
Oh, yeah. Floor 61. Didn't even think of that. That's a good one.
But that wouldn't be an expansion, Floor 61, so... I don't know. I think those are good ideas. And, you know, actually, the more I think about it, the more a construction rework could fit into one of these, because it would be an effective relaunch of the entire skill. And when it comes down to it, they could really expand it out into all the other skills like that, too, the way it was initially meant to be.
And we could all be gifted with you no longer bitching about it.
Oh, it's not just me. It's not just me. I have it with good intention. That if the construction rework came, Earth would come back to the podcast.
Yeah, I would be totally thrilled with a construction rework, and I was pretty sad to not see it up towards the top in the polls and selected.
Well, yeah. And not just that. It seems every time it comes up, they crap all over it. Like, that is really discouraging.
Well, I think they're just so afraid of doing it because it the first time they did it, how many things broke for years?
Well, remember there was the episode last year entitled Courage in which we talked about the Apple removing the headphone jack? And then
they're removing too many jacks.
And then Jagex, we said Jagex needs to have courage as well. So,
yeah. Well, Apple needs to realize that people still use USBs.
Okay, we're going to have to talk about this later.
He's just trying to work you up. Love it. This is great.
All right. Do you guys have any D&D experiences? I have never played tabletop D&D, believe it or not, so I'll have to leave this over to you guys.
Well, did Tanis share his?
No.
Oh, okay. Shoot. I thought you did.
I'll be quick.
No. Go for it.
Oh, it may be a cop-out, but I think my Demonsmithing rework is going to be in an expansion. It may be broader than that, but I think it's going to be there. And I, too, it's my hopes and dreams. I'd like to see the POH rework. I think it could be there. I don't know. They better not drop another skill. You're not allowed, Jagex, listen to me. You're not allowed to put out another skill until you finish the last skill that you put out, okay? That's how it goes. You have to finish the last one.
But that's an elite skill. That's always subject to be added to.
Well, they never finished the to 120 part, so you need to do that. Just saying. But as for D&D, something I've always wanted to do, and... I never had any friends that played, so I was never able to.
All right. How about you, Mr. Bistro? I think, do you ever play this?
Oh, man, I can't even begin to count the amount of good times I've had playing D&D. Because I started in 3.5, played through all of 4, and just started last week my first campaign DMing a 5th edition campaign. And I'd say the most memorable campaign I ever had lasted a couple years. And I don't know, the story was good. Still in high school at the time, so I was with a lot of friends, and it was a really good way to hang out. And had a lot of laughs. We used to call it Dungeons and Doritos, because we'd always bring Doritos to it. But the most funny thing that's ever happened was a campaign where when I was a player and our team, we all got instruments, and instead of doing the campaign that the DM wanted, we
banded together and went around from town to town playing in the taverns and collecting gold as a band and ascended in popularity. So that was interesting.
Wow, that sounds really in depth. And you said years? It took years?
Oh, no, not that one in particular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a different one, a much more serious one, which I think was very well done. And the current campaign that I'm working on, I've put at least 30 plus hours into writing out the lore of the world, and I'm really excited to see where it goes. So,
yeah. All right. Well, it seems like you were perfect to answer this question then, since Tanis and I have never done this.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You guys should try it.
I'd love to try it someday.
Yeah, I guess so. Why not? Try new things. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
There we go. RSBNB's D&D night over Discord.
Yeah, there you go.
You
Discord.
Just let me know. I would be down.
I will put a link to the Discord in the show notes as well.
Realize that childhood dream here.
That's
be
definitely
great.
Somewhere that everyone wants to be. So
yeah, that and there's so many online tools you can use now. Not to make it a pick-esque like thing, but Incarnate is a map generating engine that's completely free, and you can make your own maps on it. It's really nice. But anyway, I'm going too far into this. I'm geeking out on it.
Alrighty. Well, our next audio question is from the RR Man. Haven't heard from him in a while, so let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, how's it going? Long time no see. Happy New Year. Hope everyone's doing all right. I see that iPhones in China seem to be exploding now. Oof, it's a bit of karma for you. I'm actually fully Android now because my iPod Touch finally died. The lightning ports on those, I don't know, it's the third one I've had now, and they just seem to crap out. Have you guys had that issue? Anyway, a question. Basic question. It's the start of the year. What's your most anticipated update of the year? What are you excited for? It could be something that's announced, something that's been hinted at, or maybe even something crazy like 120 farming. Secondly, I played Catan for the first time over Christmas to replace our family's yearly Monopoly game. It was fantastic. Wonder if you guys have ever played it. I didn't realize how popular it is. If you haven't played it, I recommend it.
Pick of the week.
Anyway, have a good 2017. Peace out.
No, I have never had problems with the lightning ports, and I find that the lightning ports work a lot better than the 30-pin ones do. The only problem is, of course, the cables. If you're not careful with them, they can fray easily and break if you don't grasp by the plastic attachment. And with regards to the iPhones exploding in China, I'd imagine that they are counterfeit iPhones, because there's lots of counterfeit goods that float around in China.
Because Apple does no wrong, according to Shane.
Oh,
you mean
no,
they were made in China?
Well, no, they were counterfeit from China too.
Oh.
But
okay. Oh no.
Yeah, I mean,
that sounds bad.
You go on the streets of Beijing or Hong Kong and you can find people selling iPhones that aren't iPhones and they're all counterfeit and everything. Those would be the ones that were exploding. But yeah. What updates are we most looking forward to this year? Let's start with you, Tanis.
The updates I'm looking forward to this year. The bank rework. I think that's probably what I'm looking forward the most. And after that, I want to say Minifoss, but I'm not on fire for it yet. I'm just going to go with the bank rework right now. And yeah.
Yeah, I kind of need to go with the same bank rework as well. Perhaps it's just that, you know, we haven't heard enough to say what else is coming, but I think that the bank rework is definitely something that's needed. I just hope that they have the courage to stick to their guns and know what needs to be done and don't necessarily cave too much to community influences when they don't need to. So, how about you, Mr. Bistro?
Also bank rework, probably, the new Nex,
of course,
takes a close second. Menaphos is surprisingly low on the list, because if you're allowing crazy things like 120 farming, then I'm going to say POH.
Yeah, and I mean, to be real, if I had to pick any update that I don't know if it's coming or not for this year, I would say definitely the construction rework. And, you know, quests. We didn't hear anything about quests in this. Like, where is the macro quest line going? And that kind of concerns me. So, yeah. I do wish that we would have quests that would come out. You know, mining and smithing is there too, but I don't think that's as important. Well, I mean, it is important, but it's not going to be something that is interacted with as the bank rework. So mining and smithing rework is probably number two for me. But number three would be quests. So hopefully they do arrive. So anything else on top updates of the year that we're looking forward to?
Just not enough known yet.
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully no underwater boss.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it would provide an interesting expansion to raids, since there is water.
I said hopefully no underwater boss.
Oh, you should know by now. I've just tried to trigger you with that. So, but yeah, I actually enjoy Settlers of Catan. It's a fun game to play, and I definitely agree with you that it is unique in its own regards, and you can definitely have some fun pushing people around in that game in more ways than one. So I always enjoyed robbing from people, and once someone got mad at me for doing that because they thought I was singling them out, but it was just the most advantageous thing to do at the time. We have since rectified that. So, you guys ever played that game?
I haven't.
I haven't. I know a lot about it. I unfortunately haven't played it, but I've played plenty of similar games. I would almost say that StarCraft is similar to that, but a little bit more way more complex. Not
really.
Civ. Had a board game out a few years ago that I had played as well, kind of like that.
Okay, that's interesting. And why'd you give up the yearly Monopoly game? That's something I'd like to hear. I mean, who would give up Monopoly, right?
If you were playing Settlers of Catan, I would give up Monopoly for that.
Oh, damn. You know,
I'd also give up Monopoly for Talisman, if you've heard of Talisman.
I have not. Though, you know, I like playing Monopoly because it allows me a chance to, you know, be ruthless and negotiate with people who I normally wouldn't be ruthless to. So that's nice.
I was going to say, the reason I would give up Monopoly is, has it ever ended well? Ever?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's only game. Why you have to be mad?
No, I don't. I refuse. I'm the poor SOB with Baltic and whatever, that mortgage.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being the slumlord on the
Monopoly. Yeah, the only problem is I'm living in that slum. I'm going, come on, man, I got 8 spaces to make it across.
Anyone who wants to learn how to play Monopoly and win 90% of the time, send a question in and I will explain how you win at Monopoly 90% of the time.
I'll save you time. Go to jail a lot.
No, that's not it. All right. Thank you, RR Man. Nice to hear from you, and hopefully those questions were answered well enough to your liking. All right, and our last question is from Trekkie, kind of going in for the whole memorial thing. What would happen if Guthix lives in you and may one day manifest itself back into the physical world? We're already possessed by Sliske.
So. And we have a shard of Zaros.
And the shard from Zaros, too.
Keep a little piece of him with us, too.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that this happened because there's no evidence to say it ever did. But, you know, I don't think it would come from you. But I definitely think that with this Memorial of Guthix update, there is the potential for something like this to at least be talked about, even though at one point Jagex said, no, it's not happening. So.
Well, when Jagex says, no, it's not happening.
That's what I was thinking. Exactly what I was thinking. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, and, you know, if he was manifesting you, there would be no reason to have the World Guardian title, for one thing. But, you know, I think that perhaps it could be a crucial part of maybe one day in some far-off fantasy of reconstructing him that the World Guardian power bestowed on you does, you know, have one as one key to reconstructing him. So, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't know if they'd ever go that way, but who knows at this point.
I predict Jagex would pull the ultimate troll and say that maybe he comes back through you and you have a wonderful time and then you wake up and it was just a dream.
I hope not. That would be pretty bad.
It would be terrible, but not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Bistro, you have anything on this?
Not really. Right. I just don't want him to come back.
All right, that's fair enough.
It happened. Let it just have happened.
That's right. All righty, well, there's our first questions for 2017. Thank you, everyone, for sending those in. If you want to send the questions in, you can email us questions@rsbnb.com. Or leave us a DM on Twitter at RSBNB. Text questions there, of course. If you have a phone and you want to call, you can call 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. Alrighty, so on to tech news we go. There was a deal made this week. It has to be verified and has to go through, but it certainly looks like Yahoo is about to be finished. Yahoo and has reached a deal with Verizon to change its name to Altaba if the $4.8 billion Verizon deal goes ahead. And with this deal, the investment would mean that all of the assets of Yahoo will become assets of Altaba and Yahoo Japan. Also means that Altaba will provide no internet services whatsoever. Yahoo's operating business will be brought under Verizon. And Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, and other board members will leave with this takeover, and she would walk away with $55 million in severance for this. So it certainly looks like this would be approved. And with Verizon bidding for Yahoo, now, consider Yahoo really isn't, you know, a huge company as big as Google or something. There's no reason for this deal to not be approved. So it certainly seems like...
I disagree.
Like, oh, you don't think it will go through?
Yeah, Yahoo's really big. There's going to be some pullback.
But it all comes like, down to the shareholders and regulatory stuff at this point.
Yeah.
And they're likely to go through because they just want to cut their losses at this time, right?
It's going to be complicated.
Yeah, and I mean, how many people have Yahoo email addresses that they rely on? They're going to need to find ways to phase these out over years because, I mean, it's something that's been around since the 90s. So when it goes, it's going to have to go gracefully. But, you know, it's... it's kind of shocking to see this happen, given how long Yahoo has been around, but I don't see any pathway forward for them to become relevant again. Do you guys?
No, and I honestly can't believe that Verizon's still going for these guys. Like, they've done pretty major mess-ups, and maybe it's the price has gotten better. I don't know. It seems like you should just... you know, keep your hand out of the beehive.
yeah.
Kind of situation.
And ultimately, when it comes down to it, who relies on Yahoo today and how much of a force are they? And the answer is that they're not much of a force. And the only people who rely on them effectively are those who are grandfathered into products. So that's why something like this is able to happen. So... it's all pending regulatory agreement, and then I guess it can happen. So,
Yeah, Verizon's getting dangerously close to having a very significant amount of control over what can happen on mobile devices, period. They're getting pretty big, and when they get that big, they get to do Google-like things when it comes to what can and cannot happen on the internet.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. That's something to watch out for. Tannis, you have anything on this story?
No, I mean, I'm very skeptical, and I just hate to see more consolidation and more mergers, and that means you're going to have less say. But hey, at least the CEO gets, you know, I mean, at least they're not going
to
be
out. Yeah, in the potentially streets, gets to retire, you know? And you know, yeah. Have a nice yeah. life.
But no, I hate to see this stuff. But nothing will stop it. They're regulatory. There's no regulatory. Forget that. We're in a new era, so it'll happen. And I don't know. I don't know what happens to email addresses like that. I guess they're all going to get Gmails. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they'd have to just you know, phase them out over time, because Yahoo itself, the domain name and stuff, would still reside to provide those services. It's just the new company wouldn't provide them, and it would be, you know, put off to someone else, perhaps Verizon, who knows. But
yeah, it's like the Hotmail versus Live thing with Microsoft.
Yeah, okay. That's what it would morph into, probably. But okie dokie. Next up in tech news, an interesting prototype from Opera. You guys remember Opera from way back when, the Opera web browser?
I remember it from now. I still work with it on a daily basis.
Well, the Opera web browser is something that's kind of been shepherded to the side of mainstream. It used to be something that was used by people, but you know, over time they kind of rolled into using the Chrome rendering engine, and you might as well just use Chrome at that point. So Opera is looking for a way to reinvent itself, and they have done so by providing now this preview called Opera Neon. It's basically, quote, a brave reimagining of what the web browser can be. So you open this web browser up, and you have tabs and bookmarks just floating on your desktop. And you also have access to the address bar and your favorites and everything like that. So you're actually able to use the web browser as if it's actually a part of your desktop, which is something people toyed with in the late 90s with Windows 98 and Windows ME, but it never really took off. So you open this up, and the web browser just fills your screen, and you're able to utilize it in a way that, you know, really provides an interesting meshing of your desktop and the internet into one. So, you know, granted, this is a preview right now. It could make its way into the main Opera web browser to begin with, and yeah, we'll just have to see where it goes from here. It's also worth noting that the people who made Opera also made the first thing on their browser called Speed Dial. Speed Dial was a grid of images that showed your most frequently visited web pages. And, of course, if you open any modern web browser, you have something very similar to that. So I guess what they're trying to do is make the next Speed Dial effect for Opera, and then have everyone else adopt that in their web browsers with this new form of interface. So it's interesting, though I don't know if this is what people want in this day and age, to have their internet favorites and address bar right on their desktop. What do you guys think?
I think it's good. However, this concept sounds like web developer hell. Because it sounds like there's going to be a whole lot of things you're going to have to do different to make sure things look right on Opera Neon. So as the usage of it increases, if this ends up coming to be, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, and, you know, one would hope they would stick to standards, but, you know, it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing to not ask back in the day. Opera actually made their own standards and kind of forced themselves upon the industry. So if they do that again when they're such a minor player, you know, that could end up being a bit of a problem. So I have to see where this goes.
They can do it, and they can do it in a way where people would be like, yeah, Opera's great, because they could use things like Rust and just a whole support a whole bunch of new stuff that's coming out in web development that a lot of other browsers are still catching up to right out the gate, making it like the prime choice to pick.
All right. Tanis, what do you think of how this looks?
I want to throw shade at it, but it's probably not something that I would be very comfortable using.
Right.
And it just wouldn't be very comfortable for me.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. A web browser as it is right now just works. It's there. It's simple. And, I mean, if this had come out a number of years ago, then maybe. Or if it was a part of Windows 10, then maybe. But here, I don't know if you're going to get people to switch to this just for this interface prototype. So that's a very good point. So we'll have to see where this goes. I might download it and have a look and see how it is on the Mac. But alrighty. Last week was also the Consumer Electronics Show, and NVIDIA made an announcement that is, quote, going to enable gaming on any PC or Mac. So for $25, you get 20 hours of gameplay on a GTX 1060 PC or 10 hours on a GTX 1080 PC. A free trial will be available. So what happens is you subscribe to the service for that monthly price, and then you will be able to play any game that you own, including ones from Steam, Origin, Battle.net, and you basically get access to a cloud computer over the internet with a virtual Windows desktop. And then you can just play games on it, and it's streamed to your computer over the internet. So this means that if you have a Mac laptop and you want to play games, you can do it. Or if you have, you know, an older PC and you want to play Overwatch on your PC friends, you can do that by paying this price. So it's an interesting service for NVIDIA to offer, but I don't know if people will take this up, because $25 a month is a lot. When, you know, over the span of a year, you could practically put that towards a pretty good video card. And it's nowhere near the $7 a month or $8 a month that Netflix is. So it's an interesting strategy, though. Shows what you can do with cloud computing platforms today. I don't think any of us here recording this have an audience for this, because we all have fairly good gaming computers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really interesting, though.
Well, and I got a couple of things with this. I mean, this is a real kind of double edge here. I can see a lot of good and a lot of potential, but I also see, like, there's a downside as well. One, the price point is that's off. It right now it's too expensive. That price needs to come down. It's not even the dollar an hour type of thing, which would still be a little pricey. But this is, but it's good for people that can't. If the price was lower, it would be great for people that can't afford a big gaming computer, or if they can't, maybe they can't physically put the computer together, or for a number of reasons, it would be good for that. Now it's going to be limited to how good your internet is. So that's something to think about. But here's the broader picture that I want people to think about. There was a time when you used to go and you bought a physical copy of your game. It was yours and you owned it. You could even sell it if you wanted to. We're getting to a point where all your Steam library, and I love my Steam library. That's like next to my computer, you know, when we're talking material-wise, I love my Steam library, right? But I'm leasing those games. Like, I'm licensing the right to play those games, right? I don't own them. No one owns them. Like, you don't own them. Now we're moving into where we're going to be doing the same thing with our computers. I'm leery. It worries me because it can be taken from you in a second. Maybe you can legally get it back. Maybe you can't. Who knows? But it's going to cost you a lot of money to find out. The point is, you're not in control of that. So I can see the potential, and I think it has huge upsides, but it also has a potential slippery slope. So yeah, I guess that's what I think. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's a fair argument, and I think when it comes down to it, I'm most worried about the internet side of it. Because, you know, if you don't have a good internet connection, you're not going to be able to do this without a multi-megabit connection. I mean, if you have less than 20 megabits, it's not going to be possible. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to try the free trial to see how it goes. But you just download the app, and apparently that's it. So, Anyways, that's pretty much all we got for tech news this week. Mr. Bistro, you have anything else on that one?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, one final note before we move on, and I feel it wouldn't be RSPNB update if we didn't do this. This week, Samsung has stated that over 96% of the Galaxy Note 7s that have been recalled have been returned. So there's only 4% of them out there in the world still that are floating and posing a fire hazard. So that's good. We can all feel a little bit safer now.
I don't think they'll ever need lower than two.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah. I said we don't need no water. Let it burn.
All right. Well, skill of the month update time. I think we should check in with December, what happened in December 12 days ago, as well as, of course, what's happening in January. So first up, Flash won the December Dungeoneering Skill of the Month. Flash got 23.4 million XP. Undoer got 13 million, and you, Mr. Bistro, came in third with 10.5.
All right. Congratulations.
Thanks.
But the RR man wasn't far behind with 10.3 million XP in position number four. So,
ooh, so close.
Why'd you stop after the 16th?
Busy.
Yeah, that was a fairly hectic time of the month, I must agree with you there.
But, man, 23 mil experience is nothing to...
yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at, definitely. So congratulations, Flash. Let's check in with our January competition. Our January competition is, of course, Slayer and, Jamandy 52. 10.6 million XP gains, second place Flash, 1.4.
Wow.
And we're 11 days in.
Mm-hmm.
So, okie dokie then. Good. I guess this is what happens when I don't promote skill of the month.
How in the world did you gain that much experience?
Yeah, that's...
That's 10 times the amount anyone else got. Mm-hmm. And more than the entire field put together.
Well, and I just went through this at the end of December, and like, I think I put up 10 in a week, but you... And I got second. So, like, but you have no idea how hard that is. Like, I neglected my family, my girls, my little girl's like, Daddy, can you play with me? Sorry, I'm in a competition. So, like, you know, it can be done. But, man, go Jam Andy. He's, rocking.
Alrighty then. Well, we do also have the achievements from over the Christmas period. So, I'll start off with the ones in January, then I'll let you guys take the ones in December. First up, Imperialis got 99 Divination on the 10th, then Barrage Tank, 99 Agility on the 8th of January, then Imperialis again on January 1st with 99 Crafting.
And then Imperialis got 99 Construction on December 29th and 99 Smithing on December 29th. It's been a busy week. EI666 got 99 fishing on December 28th, and Lee got 99 summoning on December 27th. Magic King got 99 crafting on December 26th. Hyon got 120 agility on December 24th.
It's a good Christmas gift.
Arany got 120 thieving on December 22nd. So congrats to everyone.
Yeah, pretty congratulations. Cool. Those are some awesome achievements.
Good job all around, everyone. Happy to hear these achievements. All right. Well, as we begin to close out this first episode of the year, I believe Mr. Bistro has a pick of the week for us. What is it?
I do have a pick of the week, and it is a genre of music that I have stumbled upon over the past week that, for some reason, I find extremely soothing and really good to listen to while at work, and also when I'm just listening to music, I guess. It's called Vaporwave, and it might get a lot of flack because it can be kind of odd at times, but what it is if you were to take 80s synth and just 80s music in general, mix it in an EDM kind of like fashion, and bring out a lounge or smooth jazzy like music, that's kind of what you'd get out of it. And it's really, really nice to listen to. You can just kind of let it play in the background and it just works fine. And I've been really enjoying it, and I really recommend people give it a try. If you have Spotify, there's a playlist called Vaporwave, and it's created by After Eating with about 500 songs that you could go ahead and pick through if you wanted. And so far, some of my favorite artists are Luxury Elite and 18 Karat Affair. Those guys are pretty good.
All right. Apparently, it is characterized with nostalgic or surrealist fascination with entertainment, technology, and advertising, and styles of both corporate popular music, lounge music, smooth jazz, and elevator music.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought elevator music was something that people hated on.
Yeah, well, that's why I'd say that this could potentially get a lot of flack, but if you enjoy it, you really enjoy it. And it's extremely surprising how enjoyable this is to listen to while I am at work. Makes the day go by much faster, so it's pretty good.
Alrighty.
So,
and you can find that on Spotify as well. We'll include the Spotify link to the playlist, I think. That would be good.
Yeah, I will do that.
Alrighty. Thank you for the pick. As, of course, 2017 has begun, we do have the Informer Roundup for December, which you can find at informer.rsbnb.com. Just the title, 2017 Begins, Happy New Year, in which we went over the December Informer articles, including your roundup for the next 2 years, roadmap of what you'd like to see in RuneScape, Colton's review of Sliskay's Endgame, and Tanis' list of the top 10 games of 2017, among other things, at RSBNB Informer. You can find all that and more at informer.rsbnb.com. All right. So since we're talking about 2017, I thought I'd give a bit of a rundown of how RSBNB update is going to work this year. In general, you can expect it to work a lot like last year. We have expanded out to increase the number of people working on any one episode from me and the host, or rather me and Mr. Bistro, to me and everyone who is involved with the podcast. So right now there's about 5 of us involved on every episode now. So that's going to should provide a new depth of content and interesting stuff that you might hear on the show. So that's good. Co-host-wise, we're going to do 2 quarterly co-hosts, so half the year will be that, and the rest will be filled with 1-month co-host, depending on what we can expect for that kind of update. So that is what RSBNB update is going to look like this year. And I think if I could do one thing more than we did last year, is I would love to increase our interaction level here. That means I would love to see you guys on Twitter. We're at RSBNB if you want to chat with us or send us things there. That would be great. We're in Friends Chat Bits Bytes in-game, so you can just head on over there. Most always someone in there to chat with, and sometimes I'm in there too, depending on the time of day. And third and finally, the RSBNB Discord server is there too, where you can see all the RSBNB members. And of course, a link, as I mentioned earlier, will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to our Discord server. So that's what RSBNB Update looks like in 2017. So what have you guys been doing over the Christmas break at RS?
I have been doing some quests to try and get to Sliskay's Endgame And I keep running into roadblock after roadblock. I just finished Nomad's Elegy and realized that I had gotten 3/4 of the way through what quest is that? A Hero's Welcome?
Hero's Welcome, yep.
Yep. I was 3/4 of the way through that, and for some reason I had stopped and done something completely different. And looking at my quest log, it looks like I literally had to do like one more thing to complete the quest. So I still have yet to do that. But getting close to doing Sliskay's endgame, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
All right. Any specific skill goals or anything like that?
120 Dungeoneering, by the end of spring.
All right. Sounds good. How about you, Tanis?
Okay. So, you know, sometimes I have to take a break here and there from, RuneScape, and cause I have a tendency of like going really hard for extended time. And then I just have to like take a break. So I have recently found something that kind of keeps me engaged and wanting to play every day, maybe a little too much, but we've been, like I've mentioned this a couple times so far, probably too much actually, but we've been doing XP competitions in our clan, and so I've been enjoying competing. Competition seems to keep me much more engaged and happy, and keeps me playing. Other than that, I have been setting a little bit of time aside to play all of the stuff that I bought on the Steam sale. there's so much stuff, and some of it I will probably never play, and some of it I'm playing like every day. Like, I've been playing, I didn't get this off Steam, this is Origin, but Titanfall 2. What a good game. So I've been playing just a little bit of that every day just to kind of savor the flavor of the campaign and not to rush it. So yeah.
All right. That sounds good. As for me, I'm sorry, were you finished?
Yeah, that's okay. That's all.
As for me on RS, I have just been doing some of the divination stuff. Prior to that, I was working on some rune crafting for money to fund the 120 herbalar goal. Yes, that's still going. I don't necessarily want to resort to bossing. That's not my style of gameplay.
Yeah. I'll take you raiding.
Yeah, apparently you can make how many millions per hour doing that? I don't know, but it's not my thing. So that's pretty much all I've been up to in terms of active RS playing, but I am actually looking for a bit of help in that I'm looking for suggestions or a total outfit design for my character for 2017. The only stipulation being that you aren't allowed to use wings, and you have to include the Master Farming Cape in it. So I'll throw some outlines up on this on the forum topic for this podcast episode, and you guys can, you know, post your ideas on that topic or send them in on Twitter or something like that. But the link will be in the show notes. And if I choose your outfit, there will be a small cash prize handed out to the person who successfully generates an outfit for me. That is something I am actually looking forward to doing because I haven't updated my outfit in years. So that would be great. But beyond that, not too much. As you guys can probably tell, I'm still recovering from a bit of the flu. We were going to do a special last week, but I didn't get around to that just because I couldn't speak last week. So we just took the week off, but we're back now, and you can expect RSBNB Update to return to its normal schedule. So anything else before we go?
Nope.
Alrighty then. Well, Tanis, thank you for joining us once again on RSBNB Update. It was great having you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, appreciate it.
And with that being said, Mr. Bistro and I will be back next week. And thank you for sharing your time with us, and look forward to 2017.